holding on Samach Bez Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the bottom. Line begins Lahu. We learned yesterday that the Gemara started discussing the question, are Goy's children considered to be related to him Lahalacha? Which is relevant as far as if he became a Ger, has he been Mekayim Piri Viridia based on the children he already has? We had a Machlokes Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish about that. We said even Rish Lakish brought Rish Lakish a pasuk. We find a Goy in Tanakh, the king Merodach Baladon over there, who's mentioned with the name of his father again, Ben Baladon. So we see that a Goy is considered related to his father in Halacha. And Rish Lakish said, fine, of course, when they're both Goyim, sure, we're talking about here when one of them became a Ger. You don't have a proof for that from a pasuk. So Omar Rav, on the side it says Rabba, Rav says, Hakol Moidin, Be'ebet She'en Lechayis. Everybody does agree, both Rabbi Yechon and Rish Lakish, that when it comes to an Eved, he has no Yichus. His children are not considered, biologically they're his children, of course, but the Halacha, they're not considered to have any relationship to him. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says, Avram tells even before, while they're still slaves. They go after their mother, but they're not considered to have any relation, la Halacha, with their father. Just as the pasuk says, that Avraham tells Eliezer and Ishmael by the Akedah, Shavu lachem poi machamer, you stay over here together with the donkey, which we darshan it to mean am hadoim lachamer, that Eliezer in particular, who's an Eved, is a people who resemble the donkey, meaning just as animals, just as with animals, they're the father. We don't consider a baby animal to be la halacha related to its father. This actually comes up in halacha in the matter of Oseh v'Espenoi. The pasuk says that a parent and a child animal, you're not allowed to shecht on the same day. According to most opinions, and that's what it's accepted la halacha. It only, even though the pasuk phrases it in the masculine Oseh v'Espenoi, it's really only the mother animal and the baby animal. The mother is considered to have a relationship because she actually gave birth to it. But the father animal is not. Similarly, over here we're saying avadim have the same kind of thing.
With the mother they have, with the father
right. Yeah. Maybe the Gemara says I have a contradiction. A pasuk describes the tziva chamisha sabonim ve'esrim avadim. Tziva was Mephibosheth the servant. We talked about a few days ago that Mephibosheth was the only surviving son of Yonasan, David's good friend. So David brought him into the palace and was taking care of him, etc. We talked about what happened later on when David had to escape, and then Mephibosheth came out looking to greet him, looking very unkempt, etc. Anyway, the pasuk describes when David first found out about Mephibosheth and started taking care of him. The pasuk describes he had a servant, an Eved Kenani named Tziva, and Tziva had 15 sons and 20 slaves. So we see that we had sons, and the pasuk calls that his sons are considered his sons. Amar Rabacha Bayaku Kapar Ben Bakar. No, all the pasuk means is in the same sense as like when you say a par, the son of a bakar, a bull, the son of another bull. Doesn't mean they're considered to have a halachic relationship. Biologically, this one was sired by that one. Same thing over here. Question is, Yihachi Hachanami? Well, then say the same thing by the Goyim as well. Okay, so it says Berodach Baladon Ben Baladon. Fine, you could argue the same thing. That it doesn't mean that he's considered to have a Yichus to his father. It just means, you know, okay, who was Berodach Baladon? Who actually sired him? Who is he biologically related to? Baladon. The answer is, Shiny Hassan Diachsinu Vishmayu Vishma Davu. And the difference is that in Berodach Baladon's case, it actually spells out his name and his father's name. Here, all it says is Tziva had children. It doesn't say their names or anything. So therefore, there's lots of a reason to assume that therefore we can't assume that in this last case that it means that the children of a slave are considered to be his children with any significance to that in halacha. Or I can give you another answer. And we find in another place, actually, where the pasuk is miyaches a goy, not only after his father, but even after his grandfather, which again goes to show that yichus among goyim has significance. Dichtiv, vayishlochem hamelech asael ben hadad, ben tavrima, ben chezion melech harom, hayoshe b'tamesek lemer. The pasuk describes it, but Asa is having a problem. The king of Israel, Basha, is starting a war against him. So Asa takes various treasures and sends them to the king of Aram, to the king of Aram Damascus to ask him to be his ally and help beat off the kingdom of Israel. But we see that the Pasuk describes that king by his name, his father's name, and his grandfather's name, Ben-Hadad, Ben-Tabrim, and Ben-Chezion. So we see it. Now, Itmar, they said a discussion as follows. What if somebody had children and then Rahman al-Islam, they died? Has he been Mekayim Piri Rivia or not? Rav Huna or Mekayim Piri Rivia, so Rav Huna says yes, he has.
For a Yid.
Now we're talking about a Yid. Now we're back to a Yid. Rav Huna or Mekayim Piri Rivia, Rav Yechanan or Meloikiyim. Whereas Rav Yechanan says no. Why Rav Huna or Mekayim B'Shom de Ravasi? Because we find what Ravasi said. D'Amar Ravasi, Ein Ben David Vat, Shiyuch L'Kol Neshomet Shebaguf. Famous word, he's going to quote it again later at the bottom of Samach Gimel on the base, that Ben David, Mashiach, is not going to come, Ad Shiyuchlu Kol Neshomet Shebaguf, until all the Neshomet that are in Guf have been used up. Guf, you know, you would think that Guf just means the body. But no, Rashi explains in Nidah, where this Gemara is also brought, that Guf is actually the name of the chamber, Lamaila, where the Neshomet are kept. And in various Sfarim, it talks about the idea that, like the goof separates the goof screens the neshama. So, like, this chamber, so to speak, screens the neshamas from the Kisei HaKavod. But when all the neshamas in that chamber are used up, that's when Mashiach is going to come. Shenemah, the pasuk says, Ki ruach lefana yatef. The pasuk says, the whole pasuk goes over there, Ki loyla olam yoriv loyla netzachach. So, if the Eved says, I'm not going to eternally be angry and quarreling with the Jewish people, eventually I'm going to forgive them and bring Mashiach. But because the spirit from before me, Yatoif. And Rashi explains over there in Nida that Yatoif is Meloshin delaying. The Bahatif Atzoyin, we find by Yaakov and Lavan. So it means, what's delaying this ki loyla olam yoriv loyla netzachach? So it's the fact that there's still ki ruach, that there's still ruchos and rishamos and yafisi, that Yatoif that are being delayed in being brought down Lamata. The point is, therefore, Rav Huna is saying, okay, based on that then, once the neshama has come down one time, good, you accomplished what you needed to. You helped bring Mashiach closer. The children died. Okay, but at least you brought those neshamas out of Guf. Rav Yechanan Loikirim Piri Rivia, he says that no, Lo Shavit Yitzorah, but in Bahaleka, because aside from Puruvu, we learned yesterday that you have another factor, the Pasuk says, Lo Shavit Yitzorah, the Ebishah created the world to be settled, and you don't have that now. If these children have died, then they haven't accomplished making that the human race continues to exist. Incidentally, by the way, Tosfos asks an interesting question in Nidah. What about, don't we have the famous Gemara that says that if the Jewish people keep two Shabbosos in a row, then Mashiach will come? What are we saying over here that when all the Neshamas are used up from Guf? So Tosfos says over there that it means, you know what, if the Jewish people keep two Shabbosos Kilchasan, the Eivishter will arrange that all of a sudden there'll be multiple births. All of a sudden, women will be having more children than they usually would, and that way both things will happen at the same time. Marsha talks about not necessarily, he argues with Tosfos, maybe not necessarily biologically, but he says, for example, you can have that great neshamas come down, neshamas that in Chassidish terms we call neshamas klolius, a neshama that includes within it many other neshamas, and therefore again Guf gets emptied out faster. Yes. Question is, you want to ask Mesvi, I have a contradiction against Rav Huna. B'nei bonim harein to bonim. A braisa says that grandchildren are considered like children. Now, the Gemara is assuming at this point that we're talking about, for example, that a person had two children, a person had a boy and a girl, one of them died, but let's say, for example, he has, one of them had a child, let's say, so then we say, fine, that you can count his child and his grandchild. Let's say, yeah, in other words, let's say, for example, a person had two children. He had a son, Reuven, and a daughter, Dina. Reuven died, let's say, but before Reuven died, he had a son. So we're thinking, therefore, it sounds like, so fine, the grandfather is Yotze, because now he has Reuven's son, Chanoch, as well as his own daughter, Dina, who is Chanoch's aunt, so good, he's been Mekayim. But the point is, you need that. The implication is, if he doesn't have that, Reuven died childless, Then Yaakov, the father, has not been Yerik Superior Vidivya, which is a question on Rav Huna. According to Rav Huna, why should it matter? You got the Neshamas of both Reuven and Dina out of Guf. You've accomplished what you needed to. The answer is Titania Ilahashlin. No. What that Braisa means, it's not talking about, according to Rav Huna, it doesn't have to be talking about a case where one of the children died. It's talking about to make things up. Let's say, for example, the father Yaakov Lechatchila only had one child. He only had one son, Reuben. Reuben gets married and has a daughter. Then we're saying that's the Braita would be saying, according to Rav Huna, fine, that makes the grandfather has now been Yotze, because from him, descended from him, there have been a son and a daughter, there have been a boy and a girl, a male and a female. But nothing to do with anybody passing away. As long as at some point, at somewhere in the line of descent from him, there's a male and a female, even if they're parent and child, doesn't matter.
That's according to...
That's how Rav Huna could understand this Braita, so it's not contradicting him. But... Maisvi, I have another contradiction. Braita says, Bnei Bonim Hareim Kibonim, grandchildren are considered like children. And it continues, Mais Echad Mehem, if one of them dies, Shanim Pesris, or if one of them turns out to be a Sris, turns out to be infertile, like Kirim Piribiribia, then he's not. That's a clear contradiction against Rav Huna. Here he can't say there's anything about Lahashlim. Here it's obvious that it means if one of them dies, then no good. Okay, that's a clear contradiction. And the halacha is not in fact like Rav Huna. The halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. If the children pass away without having had children of their own, which we'll get to in a second, then you attack have not been yotze period yet.
If they get married before having children,
what do you mean? If they get
the father passes away at the time they get married.
They still haven't been mechayim yet. One second. Bnei Bonim Hareim Kibonim, we just said, the Braita said that grandchildren are considered like children. Sovar Abaye Lamemer, so Abaye thought to say, what it means is, bro lebro uvrata lebrata, if Reuven had a son Chanoich, and then Reuven himself died, or Dina had a daughter Osnas, and then Dina died, then it would work. V'choshekin bro lebrata, and all the more so, maybe, if Dina has a son, then you would say it's good. Avabrata lebro loy, but you would think, Abaye thought to say that if you have a daughter from a son, maybe you're not. Maybe you're not Yotze. Amalei Rava, no, L'Sheves Yitzara Baya. Why? What's the problem? All you need is L'Sheves Yitzara Baha'ika. You have accomplished your L'Sheves. There are children in the world, thanks to you. It doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter the genders of the... I mean, it will matter the genders of the grandchildren, but in other words, it doesn't matter whether your granddaughter is your son's son or your daughter's... Or your daughter's son. Or your granddaughter is your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. Either way, you have a female in that generation from you. Same thing with the son's children, whether it's a son or a daughter, doesn't matter. The Rambam actually explains this Gemara. The Rambam actually understands this Gemara a little differently. According to the Rambam, specifically, if you're going to have, if in fact the first generation children, Reuven and Dina, have died, and all you have left is grandchildren, then yes, it has to be that one of those grandchildren is male and the other one is female. It can't be, for example, the way the surface meaning of our Gemara would seem to be that, for example, if both Reuven and Dina died and both of them have sons, you were Mekayim Piri Verivya, because in the first generation you had a son and a daughter. The fact that in the second generation all you have is son, is grandsons, according to the simple meaning of the Gemara, and that's how some Mefarshim learn it, doesn't matter. The Rambam does not hold that. The Rambam holds, even in the second generation, it has to be a boy and a girl. Otherwise, you're still not Yotze.
Goes only to the second generation.
No, one snap. I mean, it only goes to the second generation, yeah.
Very stringent, then.
Yeah. Dekule, Amamiya, Tre Mechabloi, which...
If they were killed, I mean, regardless, if some of the going kill them.
So that's what we're going to say soon. A person is responsible to do whatever they can, even if, for example, if a person has to remarry in old age in order to have children, okay, you know, you do what you have to do. I mean, ultimately, it's in the Irish's hand, but you have to make the effort.
So actually, you're saying that even in old age, you'd rather marry.
Let's talk about it in a minute. We'll see you in the Gemara in a minute, yeah. Or a little, about halfway down the Amud. Wait. So at any rate, be that as it may, everybody seems to agree that if you have two grandchildren from one child, that's not good enough. Suppose that Yaakov only had the one son, Reuven, and Reuven himself had a son and daughter. Yaakov has still not been Mekayim Piri Verivya. Because he never had a daughter. The fact that now you have two grandchildren, one of each gender, doesn't help because they both come from the one parent.
According to this reading, you need the first generation male and the second generation.
According to the Rambam, you need the first and second generation have to be male and female, yeah.
Right.
But the point is that you can't just have in the first generation there was only one child, even though that child may have many children. You, the grandfather, have still not been Mekayim Piri Verivya. question is the lawyers, and you're telling me no. But we find that the Rabbanan said to Rav Sheshes, on the side of it here, it says, quotes from Shultz, it says they said to Rav Abba Bazavda, Nisiv Itzav Oled Boni, you need to get married and have children. And he told them, I don't need to. I have a daughter. She has children. That's already considered my children. So we see, in other words, and that's only his daughter. Pashas, he only had the one daughter. And yet we see, he's saying he's Yotzeh. The answer is, Hosn Dechuya Kamadchilu. In that case, Rav Sheshes is not really saying that that's the halacha. He's just trying to, like, push them off with an excuse. The real reason why he didn't want to listen to them and get remarried and have more children, he couldn't. Rav Sheshes had become an ochre, had become infertile because of the shiurim of Rav Huna. We'll talk about the Gemara. We'll explain that. The Gemara will explain that in a couple of days. We'll have on Samach Dal on the base. The gist of it is, Rav Huna used to give very, very long shiurim. And his talmidim, there would come a point in the middle of the shiur where they feel the need to go to the bathroom. They didn't want to get up in the middle of the shiur to go out. So therefore, they'd sit there and hold it in, and that affected their power of that affected their fertility. Later on, and you're talking not allowed to. It says in Shulchan Aruch, but I guess in this case, it felt that the circumstances are that overrides that. But you're right. In Shulchan Aruch, it says precisely for that reason that as well as Baal Tashaktu, that yes, when a person has to go to the bathroom, they're not allowed to hold themselves in. You know, it's also possible that Rav Sheshes, and actually the Gemara is going to mention on Samach Dalet, wasn't just Rav Sheshes, there was a bunch of other Amoraim, Talmidim of Rav Huna as well. It could be they didn't realize what's going on. It could be they didn't realize they're sitting there so long, and therefore it's having this effect on them. They may have been so partiffed in the shiur that they didn't even realize, you know. Whatever. The Gemara actually later on in the Ayins, when it gets to the Sogia of Tzodako Kruz Shacha, explains that the vote is there's two different channels that in the man's aver, one for urine and one for sechazera, and therefore what happens is when a person holds it in too long, when a person holds it in having to go to the bathroom for too long, then it can cause the one channel to break open into the other, and then what happens is you end up with zera and urine mixed, and it's not fertile. How that works physiologically, physiologically, you know, if you look at any anatomy textbook, there's no two channels over there, it seems. There's only one running down the length of the aver. But what that means exactly, there's two different ones, could be that it means, for example, that there's two different sets of ducts within, you know, further up, and, you know, inside the body or whatever. There's a urinary system, and there's a reproductive system, so it could be something like that.
The reproductive system gets into the urinary duct.
Well, it goes into the urethra, right? That's what I'm talking about. There's only one urethra. But the point is, I think one idea of it is there's a sphincter for urine, of course, but there's various valve sphincters, whatever over there. The job is to prevent them from mixing. So something like this, I guess, could weaken those valves and therefore allow them to mix. Yeah. Anyway.
But they do have these abnormal reflux.
Okay. So therefore, the point is, Rav Sheshes physically was unable to have any more children. So when they were urging him, you really need to have more children, he gave them this excuse that I have grandchildren. But the real reason was that.
He didn't want to give them
the real reason, I guess.
He was potter, in other words.
Apparently, yeah. Which Mephoshim discussed, okay, even if he's potter from having children, why is he not chayav to get married, right? And one answer is, we're going to learn later on Samach Gimel, at the bottom of Samach Gimel, and top of Samach Dalet, about the famous story of Ben Adai, who felt, you know, I can't get married, I'm too much into Torah, I don't have it in me to be married. Rav Sheshes may have been sort of the same way. He's so partiffed in Torah that therefore he's potter from the usual obligation of being married. Amalei Rava L'Rava Bar Mori. Menachem Milsa to Amar Rabbanan. Where do we get this vort that the Rabbanan say Bnei Bonim Hareim to Bonim? That grandchildren are considered like children, which we said at the top of the Amar. Where do we get that from? Ilema Menachtiv Abonis Bnoisev Abonim Bonah. You're going to get it maybe from the fact that Lavan says to Yaakov, you know, what makes you think I b'chalav would have harmed you? Aren't the daughters are my daughters, the sons are my sons. So we say, which sons is he talking about? He's talking about his grandchildren, Yaakov's children, and he's calling them my sons. So maybe that proves it. Can't say that. Elamayata, what about? He continues in the same pasuk. The sheep are my sheep. What do you mean, Hachanami? Obviously, the sheep aren't related to him. Eladakonis mina. He just means these are the sheep that you acquired from me. They used to be mine, or they used to whatever. Their ancestors used to be part of my flock, and now they're part of yours. Same thing. The same thing. The children, it doesn't mean to say necessarily these are really considered as if they were my children. He means they come from my daughters who you purchased for me with 7 years of work for each. You can't prove anything from that. Ela mehacha. So no, rather we can prove it from this collection of psukim as follows. Pasuk says in Divrei Yomim, va'achar bo chetren el bas machar avigilad, afterwards chetren, it was from Shevet Yehuda, came to and married the daughter of Machir, who was the father of Gilad. Machir is one of the sons of Menashe at the end of Chumash Bereishis, Gam b'nei Machir ben Menashe. So Machir is the father of Gilad. Machir is from Shevet Menashe. Chesron married a woman from that Shevet, the daughter of Machir. Atelud lo Yisguv, and she gave birth to Yisguv. Uchtiv. Then another pasuk says, Minim Machir Yodim Chokikim, that from Machir, meaning from this family, from Machir, there came Yodim Mechokikim. There came Mechokikim, meaning people who know how to lay down the law in Halacha. But then another pasuk says Yehuda Mechokikim. That Yehuda are the ones who are the Mechokikim. So what is it? In other words, are the Mechokikim? But now, what would it be? In other words, how are there, if Yehuda is the one who produces the Mechokikim? And also in Yaakov's bracha, so mechokikim ben raglav. Then how all of a sudden does Machir come to have mechokikim? It means, in other words, because his grandchildren, his daughter married Chetzron. Chetzron's children are from Shevet Yehuda because children go according to their father's Shevet. And yet these children are considered to be Machir's children. Therefore, mini Machir from Machir come the mechokikim. So we see that these grandchildren from Chetzron and his daughter are considered as if they were are considered as if they were his children. So there we have a proof.
I'm
going to go take a second to go check the front door and make sure they didn't lock it, because if anybody else wants to come in, I'll go. If anybody else wants to come in over here, then that might be, I wonder if that might be somebody calling you.
I'm in a shear, I cannot.
He locked it? Yeah. Oh. I lost that in the future, not there. Nobody tried coming. Alright, to continue. Yeah. So now, we learned in the Mishnah, going back to, we said that if once a person is in Mekayim Kiriviriviya, then they don't really have an obligation to marry a Bas Banim anymore. They have to be married, we said in the Gemara, but they don't have to necessarily marry a woman who's capable of having children. However, Masnissin, the law of Rabbi Yeshua, our Mishnah then does not go according to Rabbi Yeshua. The Tanya Rabbi Yeshua, Nasa Adav Isha B'Yaldu. So even if a person married a woman when he was younger, and then she passed away, Yisa Isha B'Zichnusa, he should still remarry when he's older. And Hayulei Banim B'Yaldus, so even if he had children when he's younger, Yulei Banim B'Ziknusa, this way he'll continue to have children when he's older. Shenemar, the pasuk says, B'Boker Zra'as Zaracha, in the morning you should plant your seed, L'Erev Al-Tanach Yodcha, and in the evening, meaning the morning and the evening of life, respectively, don't stay your hand, don't hold back, don't let go of it from your hand. Ki'en Chayodeya Eze Yichshar, Hazer Ezeh, you don't know which one is going to come out good, this one or that one. Vim Shneim Ke'achav Tovim, where both of them might be equally good. So it means some Mefarshim say that it refers to, in other words, whether your children will be good people or whatever. Some of them say more. You know, we're talking about the mitzvah period of Rivia. You never know. The children that you had when you're younger might not end up having children themselves, and they haven't been fully mekayim period of Rivia. Whereas the later ones will. What about Chizkiyahu?
His children would be Rishayim.
And we had that story in Brachos. Yeah, that for that reason he was. Yeah, I mean that was a special case. He knew Baruch HaKadosh was going to have children, and was going to have a child that was a Rasha. But yeah,
that's the
point. Yeah. Rabbi Kiva,
this is from Koheles, right?
Yeah, similar idea. Rabbi Kiva says, "Lomad Torah b'Yaldusa." Even if a person learned Torah when he was younger, Yomad Torah b'Zichnusa, he still needs to continue learning when he's older. And say even if he had Talmidim when he was younger and he thinks maybe I've accomplished enough for Habatah Satara, Yulei Talmidim is a Knosei. Keep on having Talmidim when you're older. Same thing. In other words, the same thing that applies to Gashmiyistika children applies to Ruchdiyistika children as well.
That's a bit redundant because he said he doesn't know if he's going to have something.
That's what we're saying. In other words, that's what we're saying. Rabbi Yeshua was talking about actual children. Rabbi Akiva is talking about Talmidim as well. You never know. Talmidim from your earlier period might not end up being the good one. And Amru, and they said, here's a famous story, Shneimasa Elef Zogim Talmidim Harila Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva had 12,000 pairs of Talmidim. Geves Adam Tifras. Geves and Antifras are two places in Eretz Yehuda, in the south of Eretz Yisrael. V'kulam Meisu V'perek Echad. And all of them died during one period. If Neshul and Nargo covered Zelaza because they did not have covered one for another. Famous explanation, of course, there's many different explanations about this, but there's the famous explanation that the Rebbe gave in several sichas. I mean, Rebbe Akiva taught, how is it that all 24,000 of these Talmidim did not internalize that? And the answer is, the Rebbe gives, it's because they had Avos Yisrael for each other. Each one, out of 24,000 Talmidim, necessarily each one has their own way of looking at things. Ein Dei Seh and Shabbos, every two people look at things a little bit differently. So when one of them sees that the other 23,999 are not learning understanding something according to his shitta, he feels the need to go and talk them into it. You know, your approach to it can't possibly be right because, you know, and so forth, each of the other, and then that's the Lonago covered Zebazet. That each one has, it should be that each one has their own approach, but you recognize the validity of the other approaches as well. And that's the part that they were missing. So they thought, as a matter of Avos Yisrael, I can't let the other guy be wrong, but they didn't realize that's not Avos Yisrael. At V'haya Olam Shamim, and though the world is desolate of Torah, at Shabbat Rav Akiva Eitzer Rav Esenu Shabbadorim, and Torah Rav Akiva came to our rabbis who lived in the south of Eretz Yisrael, Shnah Lehem, and he taught the Torah to them. They are Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yerki, Rav Shimon, Rav Elazar ben Shamua, V'hem Midu Torah Oteshah, and they're the ones who reestablished the knowledge of Torah in that period. So Rabbi Akiva himself is an example of this idea. He had all these Talmidim when he's younger. All of a sudden, all of them died. But instead of giving up, he went and found five new Talmidim. Tana, and we learn in a Braita, Kulam Meisim Pesach Vada Tzeres. All of them died between Pesach and Shavuos. This is why we prava certain aspects of mourning during Sfira, because of this. And of course we know that a number of different days. What's the period when we actually keep that mourning? The Ma'aril brings an idea that they only died during 33 days of Sfira. So he says it's because, why 33 days? Because you subtract from the 49 days of Sfira, you subtract the days that are Shabbos or Yom Tov or Rosh Chodesh. You have 7 days of Pesach, 2 days, 3 days of Rosh Chodesh, two of Iyar and one of Sivan, and seven Shabbosim. So once you subtract all of that, you're left with 33 days. So according to the Ma'aril, it comes out that you need to keep Avelus throughout the whole Sfira from beginning to end, and that's Taka Aminu. Then there were other Minhagim based on, there's a different version, the different Girsa in the Gemara over here, that it wasn't Ad Atzeres, but an Ad Preus Atzeres, until 2 weeks before Shavuos, which is like Vayomer approximately. That's the basis of the Minhag that many people have, that they keep the Avelus only until like Vayomer and then stop.
Why was it during that period, not Shavuos?
Different ideas that Mephoshim talk about, but one idea is because since Loinagu covered Zebazeh, then it means, in other words, they're not suitable to be the Mekabli HaTorah on Shavuos. So therefore, yeah. Amar of Chama Ba'ovin V'Temer of Chia Ba'ovin, Kulam Mesum Misa Ra, all of them died an evil death. Maidi, what is that? Amar of Nachman Askara. They all died of Askara, which we've talked about before, is a diphtheria or something like that. It's some kind of terrible disease that basically the person is not paralyzed. The person is choked. You know, is unable to breathe. Yeah. Amar of Nachman. Oh yeah. So there we see an example of the earlier Talmidim and the later Talmidim. Amar of Masna, halacha k'Rabbi Yeshua. The halacha, in fact, is like Rabbi Yeshua. So yes, not like our Mishnah that once a person has done Piyuv Rivi Fater from it, but like Rabbi Yeshua says, a person still needs to keep on trying. And now the Gemara is going to get into now the Gemara is going to bring a bunch of vertlach about the importance of marriage. Any person who does not have a wife, then he's living without happiness, without bracha, and without goodness. The pasuk says that you should be happy, you and your house. So therefore, it implies that real simcha is only when a person has a bias, a wife. A pasuk in Yechezkel that says to place bracha in your house. So again, there's the same association with bias, but also Marsha points out the pasuk there, the context of the pasuk in Yechezkel is talking about mitzvah chala, which is one of the special mitzvahs of women. So when a person has a wife who does have frashas chala properly, then you have haniach bracha al beisecha. If a person doesn't have a wife, then he doesn't have that. It says not good for man to be alone. In Israel, they said a little different. A person who doesn't have a wife is b'loy Torah, b'loy Chayma. He's without Torah and without a wall around him. B'loy Torah, d'chtiv, as the pasuk says in Iyov, ha'im ein Ezra sibi, isn't my Ezra with me? And Ezra meaning a wife, Ezra Kenegdo. But Toshia nidcha mimeni, and Toshia, which means the knowledge of Torah. We learn in Pirkei Avos, for example, Toshia is one of the expressions, is one of the words in Tanakh for knowledge, for the Chachma of Torah. But Toshia nidchemeni, and Toshia is far away, is pushed away from me. The person who doesn't have an Ezra doesn't have Toshia. B'loy Chayma. That we're saying that a person needs a wife in order to properly be able to do all these things, in order to properly have the Chachma of Torah. A person needs to be, as the Gemara is going to say soon. Actually, the person who's not married is lacking a certain perfection of what a person is supposed to be. B'loy Chayma. And without a wall, as it says in Mashiach's time, a woman will surround a man. This is the idea why we have why the kala surrounds the chasen seven times by the chasen. Al pichsidus is the whole idea that the nekeva is higher than the man and surrounds him as a makif around him. So here we're saying, in other words, a person needs that wall, a person needs that protective wall around him, which his wife provides. Rava bar ulam, a b'loy shalom. Here's another one. A person doesn't have a wife, is living without peace. You'll know that you tend to the peace. Your tent meaning also your wife, shuvu lachem la'alechem. And you'll look after your abode where you live, and you won't sin. So we see that a person needs an oil in order to have shalom. You'll look after, or we'll see in a second another meaning of the word fakata, navcha, your dwelling place, and you won't come to sin. Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, another meaning of this pasuk, Kol yadeh beishtei she yiras shemayim ve'eda poikta, a person who knows that his wife has yiras shemayim and is not poiked her, does not visit her, in other words, to have relations with her at the proper time, nikra choite, is called a sinner. Shinema, we adapt to kishalom ha'alacha, we're going the same thing, because the pasuk says, ufokadta navcha, you have to, here we're understanding the word ufokadta, meloshen pekidah, like coming to visit on a regular basis. So if he's not, if he's a fakata navcha, then b'lisechta, which implies, but if he's not poked her at the proper time, then he is chayta. No, obviously not when she's nidda. No, he knows that he knows his wife is a yiras shemayim. He knows that there's times when he's supposed to be having an oina with her, and he fails to do it. Now, why are we specifically focusing on a yiras shemayim? There's a number of different explanations. One is, if she's a regular woman, okay, she might, it's chutzpedik al pi halacha, it's amtniyistik al pi halacha for a wife to directly ask her husband for relations, but it's supposed to be like she sort of hints at it, you know, and makes him realize that she wants it. A yiras shemayim might not be. She might be too shy or whatever to do that. So the man himself has to take the initiative, and if he doesn't, then yeah. The idea is how we darshan it from the pasuk. Besides the fakata navcha, the first half of the pasuk, the adatik is shalom alacha, shalom meloshen sholem. If you know shalom alacha, that your wife is shalom, is good, and you're a shemayim, then you have to make sure fakata navcha, and that way v'lo sechta. Amr Bishurban Levi, another thing we learn from this pasuk, Chayev Adam Lifkad is Ishte Bishasho Yaitzil Aderach. A person has to be poiked his wife when he's getting ready to go on a trip. Shanema,
before he goes,
yeah. What it means, poiked, we'll talk in a second. Shanema, Yadatik Shalom Allah, same pasuk. You should know that your tent is at peace. And then ufakata navcha. You have to be poiked. You have to visit. You have to do visitation to your navcha, to your dwelling, meaning to your wife. Question is, hama halcha nafka? Is that where we learn this from? Mehosim nafka. We have a different pasuk. Well, ishich chukasa. If the Eibishter says to Chava after the chatei tzedas, to your man will be your chukka, your desire. Which means we learn from that a woman has a special desire for her husband when he's getting ready to go on a trip, and therefore the husband has to be ready to satisfy that. The answer is Amar Rabbi Yosef. Yes, but it's true from a religious true kasek, we know that there's a general kiyuv to do it. The pasuk v'yadatik shalom halacha adds another detail to it, that even when it's samoch levesta, even when it's close to her vest. When it's close to the time when she would expect to be having her period. Vakama, and how much? Amar Rava. Rava says on the bottom, oina. One oina beforehand. Meaning, let's finish the thing, and then we'll talk about what this means. Lahalacha. Vahani milu dvar harashus. This is only if the person is going on an optional trip. On a pleasure trip, basically. Or maybe you're on a business trip. But if he's going on a trip for a mitzvah, then he may get distracted. Then he doesn't have the chiyuv to be poiked her because he may get distracted. And first of all, Rashi says two possibilities. One, he's already distracted knowing that he has to go on this trip for the mitzvah, so he's not going to be in the frame of mind to be poiked his wife. Or number two, he may get distracted and miss going on a trip. Now, what do we mean by being poiked, and what do we mean samoch levesta and all this? So there's two major approaches. The two major approaches that the poskim take. One is that poiked over here means actually to have relations with her. A person has a chiyuv to make sure to have relations with his wife above and beyond their regular oina, which is once a week or once a month or whatever it is, depending on his occupation. Besides that, he has a special chiyuv to have relations with her before he goes on a trip. And then what we're saying is, then what we're saying is, because of that, even though usually you have the inyan that you're supposed to be poedish from your wife from one oina before the vest. One oina, 12 hours before the expected time of the vest.
An oina is
12 hours. An oina is 12 hours. Well, according to the Ozerua, it's 24 hours, but according to everybody else, it's 12 hours. Even though normally you have that chiyuv to separate from your wife for that 12 hours, nevertheless, here in this case, since that's only, according to one way of looking at it, that's only a takana derabanan, and therefore they'll suspend it for this kind of thing, to be poiked her before you go on the trip.
No,
because in those days, most women had very regular vestas, and even nowadays, if they don't, you know, you still have. You keep a calendar, right? You have, you know, you note down what the date and time of the last one was, and based on that, based on the various criteria that you have in halacha, you figure out what are the respective times when you need to separate.
So it's the theoretical
date. Yes. Right. Other Mephoshim say that, no, we're not talking about poiked over here doesn't mean to actually have relations with her. It means, for example, hug her, kiss her, talk affectionately to her. In other words, even though these are the kinds of things, what the Gemara would be saying over here is normally somoch levesta, normally within so close to the vest, you shouldn't be doing those things either because you may come to actually doing tashmish. In this case, you don't necessarily have a chiyuv to actually have relations before, but at least have a chiyuv to show other kinds of physical affection to her. And that will allow even some of Levesta, even though normally we would say no because it may lead to Tashmish. In this case, where you're going on a trip, then that's the exception.
But the halacha is you're not supposed to.
So it depends. It depends on the different opinions. And then there's one more idea. I think the Ritva says that some of Levesta means the other way around. It means on the contrary. It means if the distinction between Dvar HaRashus and Dvar Mitzvah. It means like this. Ordinarily, the person is getting ready to go on a trip, but he knows that Samoch Levesta over here, according to this explanation, doesn't mean before her vest. It means, on the contrary, at the end of it, when she's getting ready to go to the mikveh. It's like this, in other words, the explanation is, according to this way of looking at it. If the person is going on a trip with Dvar HaRashus, then he has an obligation to wait as much as an oina enough time for his wife to go to the mikveh and for them to be able to have relations. He doesn't have to wait more than that. If it's going to be more than an oina away that she's going to the mikveh, then he doesn't have to wait. But if it's going to be within the next oina, then he has to. However, then the Gemara says if he's going with bar mitzvah, then you don't obligate him to, because then he has to go on his mitzvah trip.
If he goes on a non bar mitzvah, he has to go.
Then according to this explanation, it means he should wait until she actually is able to tovel, and then he'll be able to be with her.
On the contrary, when she's nida, he should go.
No. But we're saying she's at the very end of her period of nida. She's about to go to the mikra. So therefore, when we're saying el samach levesta, v'kama amar rova oina, means when if it's close to the end of her vest, if it's close to the end when she's going to be going to the mikra, you have an obligation to wait an oina, unless you're going with the mitzvah and then you're potter from it. We learn in a braisa, ha'oyev es ishti k'gufa, a person who loves his wife just as much as himself, v'amachabda yoysim k'gufa, and who honors his wife even more than his own guf. What does that mean? So Rashi says there's the fact that, for example, women are easier to embarrass than men. So like there might be, for example, things that a person himself, you know, something happens to me, I won't be so embarrassed, but my wife would be in the same kind of circumstance. So you have to honor her more than yourself, make sure that such things don't happen. Other Mepharshim say it's talking about the idea that a person has a responsibility to get nice clothes for his wife, nicer even than his own, because women are more into clothes than men. On a person who raises his children, his sons and daughters in the right way, and marries them off close to their perek, around the time that they become of marriageable age, meaning as soon as possible, so they don't have the time to start getting hirurim and then possible znos and whatever. All of Akasav Aymer about such a person, the Pasuk says, V'yadata kishala ma'alacha, you will know that your tent is at peace. These are the kinds of things that make a person's tent, a person's household, at peace. Another thing, ha'oyev es shcheinav, a person who loves his neighbors, v'amakarev es kreivav, and who's close with his relatives, he has a close relationship with his relatives, v'anoyseh es basachoyseh, and who marries his sister's daughter, his niece, which then, the point is, a person naturally has a person feels very close naturally to their niece. So like this, it makes their marriage a much stronger one than marrying somebody that you don't really know.
So it's a mitzvah
when possible, yeah. Tosfos discusses that maybe it could also apply to your son's daughter, enough son, to your brother's daughter. So maybe the same logic. So Tosfos says no. I mean, it's more likely your sister is more likely to get a shidduch with your daughter than your brother is. On the other, Rabbeinu Tam says in Tosfos that no, the difference is that since roif bonim doimin la'achiyim, the Gemara says in a few places that most children resemble their mother's brother. Then therefore, if you marry your sister's daughter, it means there's a much closer connection between your niece from your sister than there is from your niece from your brother. Because your sister and you already tend to be a lot alike. Other mafarshim also talk about the idea that if you marry your brother's daughter, you may have all the issues that we talked about earlier in the Masechta, where if it comes to a matter of Yibum, there can't happen a mitzvah of Yibum because it's Bas Achoyseh and she's Bas Achiv and she's also to you. Whereas Bas Achoyseh, there's less of an issue with that. Yeah. One thing is though, actually. There's a famous sefer called the Tzavar of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. There's many things in it, many unusual things that he says in it, as a Tzavar to his descendants. A lot of very unusual things that seem to contradict things in the Gemara. One of them is this. Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid writes in his Tzavar that you should not marry your niece. So everybody wonders, how does that fit with our Gemara over here? So there are many people who want to say that maybe Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid's Tzavar is only meant for his family, only for his own descendants, not for the rest of Klal Yisrael. In practice, though, there are a lot of things in his Tzavar that many people follow. The whole idea, for example, that people do nowadays that a Chassid should not have the same name as his father-in-law and a Kala should not have the same name as her mother-in-law, that comes from Tzavar Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. That two brothers shouldn't marry two sisters and live in the same city, that comes from the Tzavar, a bunch of things. Anyway, so one other answer is that all Gemara is talking about here, when is it good when you notice Basachose, when you're doing it, L'shem Shemayim? If you're not, then maybe it's not such a good thing. By Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid's time, you know, similar to what we talked before about Yibum, you couldn't necessarily depend on that you're doing it, L'shem Shemayim. So therefore, he said better not. Anyway. And another good thing, when a person lends money to a poor person when he's in a bad situation, All of our cult of Omer on such people, the Pasuk says, Oz tikra of Hashem yana, then you will call out and Hashem will answer. Teshava, you'll scream out to Hashem, V'yema hineni, I'll say, here I am. So these kinds of things that we're saying, a person who loves his neighbors and is close with his relatives and so on and so forth, these are things that Hashem really appreciates.
Talking about Jewish neighbors.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean, you're going to your neighbors also, you know, maybe not all of them, maybe not in the same way, but at least, you know, be decent to them. They're for your neighbors, yeah. This Hamal v'Selul Oni b'Shach Dachkoi, by the way, I once saw an explanation. It doesn't mean b'Shach Dachkoi of the Oni. Of course, the Oni is always in a Shach Dachkoi. It means when you have a Dachkoi, when you yourself are having a hard time financially, but you still go and lend a cellar to the poor person. That's the Milo. That's the Chiddush. That's the Oz Tikkur Rosh Hashanah, yeah.
And possibly don't wait until your Dachkoi comes.
Maybe that's true, yeah. Tosfos does draw a distinction over there. We learned back in Chagiga that actually it can be not such a good thing to lend a poor person money when he's in a dire situation. Tosfos says the difference is that Gemara there in Chagiga is talking about, for example, imagine the person is being dunned for taxes. If the tax collector see he doesn't have anything, okay, they won't bother him. If they see all of a sudden he's got money, then they're going to start harassing him. So that's the kind of time it's not good to lend to him. But here we're talking about where he needs it for himself, for his needs. Yeah. Now they go, well, let's continue. It's only 9:20. See what we can do. I mean, by rights, really, we should have been doing the whole Samach Gimel, but it's pretty big. We won't get through the whole thing today, but let's see what we can do. The Gemara starts now with a simon. This is a simon. These are key words for the next few teachings that the Gemara is going to say. Isha v'karka ezer zois shtei habrachas tagri pachsi. Each of these is a key word for the next few teachings. Amar Rav Elazar, ka adam she'en le'isha ene adam. A person who does not have a wife is not an adam. Shenema zachor nekev abram v'yikras shemam adam. The Pasuk says he created a male and female, and he called their name adam. So a person needs to have a wife to be an adam. Ve'amar Rav Elazar, ka adam she'en le'karka ene adam. Also a person who doesn't have land is not a full adam. Shenema Shemayim Shemayim LaShem VaEarth Nasam LeBnei Adam. The earth he gave to Bnei Adam. So a person who doesn't have any karka is not in that category. Besides, for the simple meaning, I saw an explanation.
Karka means binyan,
houses. We'll get to soon. Actually, the truth is actually in Chassidus, in a number of places, instead of quoting this Adam Shein LaKarka in Chassidus, the usual quotation is called Adam Shein LaBayis Shein Adam. And the explanation
is why.
Well, that too, but also the explanation in Chassidus in many places is that a person who doesn't have a bias, who doesn't have a sense of, doesn't just mean a house in the simple sense. It means Chassidus distinguishes between this makif harkorev and makif harachik. The makif which is close to you, which is besides a wife or to your clothes, for example, or a makif harkorev, and then there's a makif harachik which is your house, which surrounds you at a greater distance. In particular, the makif harachik, therefore, represents a person's ability for mesiras nefesh. A person who lacks that bias, who lacks that sense of mesiras nefesh, is not a full-fledged adam. Today's hayyam yom, which is about the difference between adam, ish, gever, and enosh. Adam is the highest one. To be a real adam, a person has to have a sense of mesiras nefesh.
What's the makif harachik?
Because makif harachik is something like it's not like clothes, for example, which are made to size to you. A house is something like it surrounds you at a greater distance. But it's there. You're fully inside it. You're fully inside it, and that's how it has to be. Whether that's how it has to be with mesiras nefesh, that the mesiras nefesh is something that totally encompasses a person, but not like it's cut to measure for him, but like something that's yes.
Well, it's him exactly.
Right.
It has to have something.
Right. Yeah. I saw also an explanation that kol adam shein lekarka in adam means no matter how high a person is reaching, a person thought to keep his feet on the ground and realize, you know, I'm a human being after all. Yeah. V'amar Rav Elazar, my dichtiv es. So far we had Isha v'karka. Next one, Amar Rav Elazar, my dichtiv es ala ezer kinegdoi. What the expression the Eibusha said is, I'm going to create him an ezer, a help for him, kinegdoi, opposite him. What does that mean? A help and opposite? They sound like two contradictory things. Zocha ezarta. If a person is zocha, then his wife helps him. Lo zocha kinegdoi. And if he's not zocha, then she's against him. which actually I once saw an explanation, the vote of it is, if the person is doing what he needs to do, then good, his wife helps him out. If not, if he's going the wrong way, his wife, not kinegdei, meaning Rashi says, chalukah olav v'seteres dvarav, she disagrees with him, she contradicts him, but it can be in a positive sense. He's going the wrong way. Therefore, she stands kinegdei, showing, no, he's got to be going the right way.
And we agreed that her way is the right way.
Yeah. The Ikadamri, others say that the lesson from the Pasuk is a little different. Rabbi Elazar Rami, Rabbi Elazar pointed out a contradiction in the Pasuk between the way the letters are written and the way we pronounce it, which we've had that kind of thing before. Ksiv kinagdoi v'karin kinagdoi. The Sefer Torah, since it's written without Nekudot, we can read as if it said kinagdoi, Meloshin nagda, which means Malkus. The Aramaic word for Malkus is nagda. So it says kenagdoi to whip him, and we read opposite him. So what is it? Zacha kenagdoi. If a person is zacha, then his wife is opposite him, meaning he's doing something and not opposite as in contradicting, but opposite as in complementary. Loi zacha menagadoi. If he's not zacha, then she ends up whipping him.
Kenagdoi means she's.
So kenegdoi can so there's two ways of looking at it. One is that ezer means with him and kenegdoi means opposing him. The other is that kenegdoi means complementary to him and kenagdoi means whipping him. The Gemara tells Ashkechei Rabbi Yosi Leliyahu. Rabbi Yosi one time met Eliyahu Hanavi. Amalei Rabbi Yosi asks him. Ksiv esalai ezer. The pasuk describes that Chava and in general women are a help to their husbands. Bama isha ezar to l'adam. In what way does a wife help her husband? Now, what does that mean? I mean, well, that seems like a simple question. I'll tell you in a second what various mepharshim say on it. Amalei, Eliyahu answers him, think of it. Adam may be chitin. A man brings home wheat. Chitin kosis. Can he chew on the wheat? That's not going to be satisfying. Pishtun, he brings home flax. Pishtun loivish, he can't wear the raw flax. His wife is the one who makes the grain into flour and into bread, and the flax into clothing. So don't you see then that she enlightens his eyes and makes him stand on his feet? So what's the question and what's the answer? So there's a lot of different explanations. Some of Farshim focus on the idea that Rabbi Yossi is asking like this. If the pasuk is talking about that Adam needs a wife, for example, in order to have children, or like the Gemara is going to point out at the end of the Amud that at the very least the wife's milas are that they raise our children and save us from chet. The question is, neither of those can really be described as ezer. Ezer implies like something that you help me with something. Like I couldn't theoretically have done it myself, but I have somebody helping me. Having children, you can't do it yourself. You can't call that an ezer. Saving you from chet is not really an ezer either. It's removing the negative. It's not bringing in something positive. So in what sense do we call a woman ezer? Connected? The pasuk should have said ezer isha. And so he answers him, yes, there is an ezer in the fact that you bring home the raw materials and the wife makes it into finished product. Some other Mephoroshim point out, Rabbi Yossi, actually, the Yerushalmi says Rabbi Yossi, really, but I guess these Mephoroshim figure that the same Rabbi Yossi is here. He had a problem. He unfortunately had an isha raw. He had a difficult wife to live with. The Gemara doesn't say why, the Yerushalmi doesn't say why, but she did, and in fact, the Gemara ends up, the Yerushalmi ends up telling the story in Ksubas that he ended up borrowing money from Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah to pay off Ksubah to be able to divorce her. Because one thing is, Mepharshim, I don't remember if the Yerushalmi itself said it, but Mepharshim point out that she was actually preventing him from being Machnes Orach. He wanted to be Machnes Orachim. She didn't want to let. So therefore, according to that then, so Rabbi Yossi is asking Eliyahu Navi, like, In what way does a wife help her husband? I'm trying to do ruchnius and she's preventing me. I'm trying to do mitzvahs and she's preventing me. And Eliyahu says, look, that may be, but after all, at least she does gashmiistic things around the house. At least she helps with the physical things around the house to make your work into a finished product that can be used. That's already a great thing itself that you ought to be thankful for. Apparently, for the time being. I mean, eventually, yeah. Bichlal also, there's a lot of mention about this in Chassidus also, about this whole idea that the interplay of Chochmah and Bina. Generally, you know, we talk about Chassidus all over the place, that the Chochmah is masculine, Bina is feminine. They have, you know, the spark of the idea that comes out of Chochmah has to be developed and then drawn out in all its details in Bina. So like the Chochmah gives the flash of inspiration, but that's not going to be enough. You can't make anything of that. You need the Bina in order to develop it. And that's the woman, yeah. I saw, by the way, also one other interesting explanation. Why Tafka are we mentioning wheat and flax? I think Ben Yehoyada says because These have to do with two of the three women's mitzvahs, chala and adlakas haner. The wheat becomes chala, so she does the mitzvah of chala. The flax becomes wicks for the candles. We learned at Shabbos that combings of flax make good wicks. So therefore, he's saying, in other words, this is the woman's contribution is that she makes it possible for those mitzvahs to happen in your house.
What did we say in there before flax?
We didn't. We said the wheat first. We said first the challah, then the adlakas haner.
And there in
the house. Yeah. Okay. Next one. We had the next one from the siman was the word zois. So my bestiv zois apam etzem atzomer bosim. Sorry, what does it mean? Other magician says this time a bone from my bones and flesh from my flesh. What do you mean this time? As opposed to what? Okay, Rashi on the pasuk says over there means that this is the only time that a person is going to be created like that from another person's body part. Usually, it's going to be that children come from the woman. Okay, but yeah, melamed sheba adam are called behema v'chaya. It means that Adam Rishon was ba on every behema and chaya. V'leniskara adaita, but he did not calm down. He was not satisfied at sheba chava until he was ba on chava. Now, what do we mean ba al? Usually the meaning ba al in most shas, as we've had many times in this masech, means to have relations with. And there are, in fact, Mefarshim Chizkuni, for example, who says that it literally means what it says over here. That Adam Rishon literally had relations with every animal, and none of them satisfied him until the Eved brought him Chava. And some Mefarshim say, so how is that possible? I mean, that's one of the things that's also even to Bnei Noach. So they say, okay, maybe, you know, before the Eved created Chava, maybe that wasn't part of the Shem Mitzvah Bnei Noach yet. Many other Mefarshim say, though, I think Maharal said that too. Maral, I think, says many other Mefarshim say, Chas v'shalom to say such a thing, that Adam Rishon would have copulated with animals? No. It means ba'al means like he considered, like he meditated on and considered carefully what they're like. He thought over. The Eved is saying Lo'tov Hayosa Adam Levada, and Eved brings all the animals to Adam to name. As he's naming them, each one he's thinking into it. Is this one a creature that possibly could be a match for me? That possibly could be my bachzor. And he's Baal, mentally, he's considering carefully the nature and the makeup of each one of them and realizing, no, none of them satisfy. Until Baal Chava, until he contemplated what Chava is all about, and then he realized that's the one.
This was on Chava was separate from
it? It could be maybe when she was still connected to him, but whatever, that he didn't realize that she's his Basdug, yeah. The next one we had, the next one from the Simon was Shtei. So Maidichtiv, what does it mean? The Eved says to Abraham, all of the families in the world will be blessed in you. But the word v'nivruchu has a double meaning. Besides blessed, it also means bricha, which means like grafting. Like you hamavricha sagefen, a person grafts, or not grafts, whatever, a person takes a shoot from a vine or whatever and replants it. It means I have two good graftings that I want to graft onto you. Rus ha-moyaviyav and nama ha-moynis. From Moyav and from Amon, respectively. So the Eivishter is saying, in other words, that eventually that there's going to be Moyav and Amon, or there are like a paradigm of it, there's going to be kol mishpachos adama, all the nations of the world, even the really low-down ones, like Moyav and Amon, are going to be grafted onto the Jewish people. And, yes. Well, from Esav also. Avadia, for example, today's Hatzorah was from Avadia. Avadia was from Esav. Yeah. Also, then, what does it mean? Kol mishpachos Adama, when it says all the families of the Adama, and there's two words in Hebrew, there's two general words in Hebrew for the land, Adama and Eretz. Adama is like the low down, the low down land.
What's the difference between Eretz and Eretz?
No, Eretz is at the end of a pasuk. At the end of an Asnachter, we say Foster. That's just a grammatical thing. That certain words change in a Kodesh. Yeah. Yeah.
Same meaning.
Anyway, so what does it mean? Kol mishpachas ha'adoma means afilu mishpachas ha'doras ba'adoma. Even the really low down nations that live in the ground, like they live in caves or whatever, ain mishpachas el b'shavu Yisrael. They also are only blessed for the sake of the Jewish people. And when it continues, kol goyei ha'aretz, all the nations of the land. This is a different pasuk where the Eved is telling Abraham that all the goyei ha'aretz are going to be benched through him. It means that filus sfinis habois migalya laspamia, even ships that go from Galia, which is France, to Aspamia, which is Spain, which in those days, next to no Jews lived in those places. It'd be like now, you know, like nowadays saying a plane that goes, you know, a plane that goes from Tonga to Samoa or whatever, you know. Ein mispachas ela b'shvil Yisrael. They were only benched for the sake of the Jewish people. So even though, in other words, somehow, you know, somehow the fact that this ship voyage is successful, eventually there's going to come out something of it for the sake of the Jewish people. In the future, all the craftsmen are going to stand on the ground. Meaning, that Rashi says it means they're going to abandon their craft and start working on farming.
Who's going to
work? In the future, all the craftsmen, all the people who do various kinds of crafts, are going to stand on the ground. So Rashi says it means that all these people who do various kinds of crafts are all going to abandon those and take up farming. Shenema, the pasuk says, I'll tell you in a second what Ben Yehoyada says about this. Shenema, the pasuk says, "V'yodu me'ona yisehem kol tovsei moshet." All of the, this is from Yecheskel. All of the ones who hold on to oars will come down from their boats. Malachim, the sailors, kol chov lehayam, all the ones who deal with ropes and rigging and whatnot on ships. Ala oret yamodu, they will all stand on the ground. So we see, like, all these craftsmen who usually, you know, up until now, they've been sailors and pilots and whatnot on ships, they're all going to abandon that and go a la karka, a la aret. So what's the, so, and, but Amar Abulazar, and Abulazar also says in this connection, there's no kind of craft that's lower down than working with the ground. Shenema, but Yodu, because we see the pasuk says they'll come down, implying that, like, being on ships is a higher thing than being on the ground. So what are we talking about over here? So there is an idea that a number of Mefarshim bring, which is going to be developed now in the Gemara a little bit, that working with the land makes a person more humble. It makes a person realize that they depend on the Eivishter. We learned way back in Shabbos that Mamin b'chei ha'ilam v'zereya, a person has to trust in the Eivishter in order to plant, because the rain is unreliable. You have to dive into the Eivishter for it to come. So therefore, when we're saying that people are going to abandon their crafts and take up farming, it includes this idea that people are going to develop this greater sense of Yiras Shemayim, that people are going to realize it's not my business, it's not my craft or whatever that makes me successful. Ultimately, it's the Eivishter. I have that mentality of the farmer who naturally gravitates to the Eivishter.
It just goes in the opposite direction of the Rambam saying, "Mayim le'yamachasim."
Okay, but so what we're saying is, right, but what we're saying is they're not going to think of themselves as Bali Umnius anymore, they're going to think of themselves as Bali Karka. Aside from that, actually, Ben Yehoyada has a very interesting idea about it. He says, when you get down to it, in the old days, in the times of the Gemara, and for hundreds of years before and after that, if you wanted if you wanted to get from point A to point B at a distance, you had no choice, really, but to take a boat. Overland travel was very slow and very unreliable. What do you have in his times? He had trains. Nowadays we have trucks and planes and whatnot. This is part of this idea. Call all the Bali Omnius, all these guys who until now were on ships, are now going to be a la carte, are all going to be with land-based transport. And he also says, there's also the idea, he says the other thing of it is that also the Gemara is predicting over here the rise of automation. All the Bali Omnius, all these guys who used to do all kinds of crafts, of handicraft, nowadays they're going to be a la carte, they're going to be standing on the ground, out of work, because their jobs have been taken over by machines. We said that. So in this connection, talking about that karka is the lowest thing, Rabbi Lazar chazyalahi out of the shadi v'karvel pusya. Rabbi Lazar saw a certain piece of land which had been plowed widthwise. Which was a very wasteful thing to do. You usually want to plant. You usually want to plow a field lengthwise. Karba means karba. So Rashi actually had two explanations of karba. One is it means kruv. It means cabbages. So it was planted with cabbages along the width. The other explanation is Rashi says that karba is the usual word in the Gemara for plowing. So according to that second, so according to the first explanation, he saw a field planted with cabbages widthwise, and the second one is it was plowed widthwise. Omar, and he speaks to the field, eat the shadi l'urchus, even if the cabbages or the plowing were to have been done lengthwise, it still wouldn't be as good. Hafuchi be'iska tav minach. Still, doing business would still be better than dealing with you. He's saying, in other words, that working with the land is like the lowest thing. So like he's saying, running a business is better than having a field. Similarly, Rav Ayel Ben Shibli, Rav one time walked into a field where there was grain growing, where there was stalks of grain growing. Chazanu the Konaifan, and he sees that they're waving in the breeze. Amalahu, and he says to them also, "In Naifas it's Nufi. No matter how much you wave, Hafuchi be Iska Tavinach. Still, doing business would be better than dealing with you." Turning over, like dealing with a business, because different mafarshim talk about different ideas. Farming is very unpredictable, so therefore you might end up losing you're much more likely to lose your whole investment than with various kinds of business. You only get a crop once a year. Business you can get profits many different times during the year. Some of them also talk about the idea that when the stalks are waving in the breeze, that's not maybe such a good thing. It means that if they knock into each other, it's going to knock out all the kernels. So therefore, he's saying, "Adaba, you know, so the more you wave, the worse it's becoming." Basically, Amar Rava, Meya Zuzi Beiska. If a person has 100 zuz invested in a business, Kol Yom Bistur V'Chamer, then every day he'll be able to eat meat and drink wine because his business is successful and he'll be able to afford that kind of thing. Meya Zuzi Be'Ara. Whereas if he has 100 zuz invested in land, milcha v'chafura, then he's going to be reduced to eating. Unripe vegetables with salt.
Milcha is
salt. V'chafura, Rashi explains, is unripe vegetables. V'loy oid, and not only that, elam gan yalei ha'ara. He's going to end up sleeping on the ground, Rashi says because he has to watch his grain. Other people say because he's going to lose his money and become homeless. And one more problem is that he ends up arguing with people because again his living is very precarious. Literally means like there are cast on him arguments, either because his living is very precarious or because with land you always have a person owns a plot of land and other people claim this is actually part of mine, the borders were drawn incorrectly, whatever, yeah. Amar Rapapa, Zrav Loi Tzizbin. Rapapa advises better to plant rather than to buy grain. Afagav Ki Adoni Ninu, because even if they may cost the same thing, nevertheless, Hani Mivarchin, nevertheless, the ones that you grow yourself have a bracha in them. So first we said a person doesn't have karka, we're saying is like this. So the idea is, there's a difference. A person should have, Tosfos talks about it a little bit, for example, that a person needs land in order to build a house. As we said before, that karka really means bias.
Right.
And a person needs a small amount of land to be able to grow grain for themselves, like a papa is saying over here. Any more than that, though, is you're better off investing in something safer.
That's
Tosfos' explanation, basically. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Oh, no, also, Zabin V'loi Tizul. Also, better. You should be willing to sell your personal things from your house, and use the money veloy tizul and rather than becoming poor.
Zavin means
to sell. Veloy tizul and rather and that way you won't become poor. In other words, instead of having so much stuff around your house, sell some of it and use the money and invest the money. Tosfos gives a different explanation. It means better to buy clothes than to make your own. Better to buy clothes than to make your own. You'll get a better price for them if you buy them ready made or whatever tailored for you than if you have to make them yourself.
How does he come from?
Because he explains Zabin by v'loy tazel, because the word tazel can also come from a root in Aramaic which means to weave. However, the Gemara says, Hani mili bistarki. This is talking about, for example, rugs or blankets or things like that. Ava glima loy mitramile. But when it comes to a kapota or an important piece of clothing like that, better you shouldn't. You might not get another one. So according to Rashi, that's talking about selling your things, meaning in other words, you want to sell your carpet, better do that. Instead of having expensive carpets around the house, better you can be investing the money. When it comes to your nice clothes, though, don't be so quick to sell those. You don't know if you'll be able to find another nice one. Bistarki means like rugs, Rashi says. According to Tosfos, it means when it comes to things like carpets or whatever, better to buy than to make your own. When it comes to your own clothing, though, you might not easily find clothing that suits you. So better to make your own then.
Okay.
more advice. This is sort of like Consumer Reports over here. Tum v'lo tashbitz. Better to plug up a hole in the wall. V'lo tashbitz, rather than making the hole larger and rebuilding it with bricks and mortar and whatever. In other words, if you have a small hole in your wall, Rashi explains, just plug it. Just put in something over there to plug it up. Don't bother making it bigger in order that you can rebuild it nicely. It's a waste of money. Shaputz v'leitivni, or if you have a larger hole where you have to rebuild it with bricks and mortar, then fine. At least v'leitivni, don't rebuild the whole wall. Again, the idea being it's a waste of money. The Iri explains a little differently. The Gemara is advising you, if you have a small hole in your wall, fix it right away. Don't wait till it becomes a bigger hole, and then you're gonna have to patch it up more. Or if it becomes a bigger hole, at least don't wait till the whole wall collapses. Shakola Osik Babinyan Mismaskin, because anybody who is involved in building becomes poor. And the more building you have to do, the more poor you're gonna be. So the Rebbe once talked about an asicha. We said before the whole idea the person is supposed to have a bias.
Right.
So what do we mean that a person gets involved in building, it makes them poor? The Rebbe explained in the asicha, it means a person becomes poor of their koichas agluyim. Like a person starts getting involved in building beruchnius, building themselves a building of mesirat nefesh, and they come to the point where, like, I feel I've done everything I could. I don't have anything more to give to it. I feel mismaskin. I feel poor. But at that point, that makes it possible now for the koichas ha'ne'elamim, for a person's latent powers to come out and accomplish. Yeah.
But in Gashmis, well, I would take the
Binyan Miskaskin. Unfortunately, you have all the time, right? You have people who deal with buildings and go bankrupt, and you know. More advice. Kfoit Zabin Ara. Hurry up to buy land. In other words, if you have a chance to buy land, hurry and buy it. And we're talking about if you don't have a chance to invest it, because we said before investing is better. But if you don't have, then better at least you should go buy the land, than that the money should just be sitting there idle.
Better to invest in a business, not
in an iska. But the next best is land. At least don't let it be sitting around doing nothing. On the other hand, masuv nasuv insa, but be slow and be cautious when it comes to marrying a woman. Also, go down a level and marry a wife. In other words, your wife should be like from a lower social or whatever it is level than you. One idea is, Rashi says, because if she's more important than you, she might lord it over you, and then you're going to have a difficult relationship. In Chassidus, in many places, it talks about the idea that, and in particular in the Kutta Torah, in the beginning of the first Maimer, in the Kutta Torah, and Shir HaShirim talks very extensively about this idea. Gemara, in fact, mentions in Ksubas, I think, that the word Chosan itself is an acronym for this expression, Nechus Darga, go down a level. And therefore, in Chassidus, it explains there's the idea, there's two ways in which the Eivishter goes down, the Eivishter, the Chosan, goes down to us, the Kala. Number one is that the Eivishter mitzamtzim himself in the Torah, Chachmasa Ritzono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and number two, not only into the Torah, but into our physical world.
And we should do this.
So therefore we should be ready to do the same. Yeah. Sak Daga Nachis Daga, go down a level, Nasiv Itza, and then marry a wife. On the other hand, Sak Daga B'chav Shoshvina, on the other hand, go up a level in choosing a close friend. Because you want to have somebody higher than you who you can look up to and then learn from them. Amar Rav Elazar bar Avina, Shushvin is a really close friend, and the expression Shushvin in Gemara terminology is actually almost like one of your unterfeerers under the chuppah, like somebody like your best man kind of, or like the or like for example the whole concept in halacha called Shushvinus, that I come to your wedding and help you with the preparations and whatnot, and in return you're automatically invited to my wedding, that sort of thing. That's a Shushvin. Amar Avlazar bar Avina, ain't Puranus Vala Olam Ela B'Shvu Yisrael. Before we talked about that when Goyim have Hatzlacha, it's for the ship going from Spain to France is B'Shvu Yisrael. Here it's the other. Here it's the converse also. Punishment only comes to the world for the sake of the Jewish people. In other words, that they should learn from what's going on and realize that they need to do tshuva.
Well,
So basically, when you see scary headlines half a world away, the idea is not just to feel bad for those guys, but to realize it's a lesson, it's a message for us. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Hichrati goyim. The Eibush says, I've cut off goyim, I've cut off nations. Nashamu pinoisam. Their corners, their parts of the world are empty. Hechravti chutzosam. I've destroyed their squares, their streets. Uchtiv. And the pasuk continues, Amarti. I said, Achtiri. But then you're going to fear. Achtiri oisi. You're going to fear me. Take mosa. You'll take a mosa. You'll take a mosa lesson from this and realize that you need to shape up. Obviously, Mepharshim point out, I mean, we're talking about the Eibush that punishes those nations because they deserve it. You know, the Eibush doesn't just do it unjustly. But also, the Eibush has in mind that it's meant to be as a lesson for the Yidden if we hear about it. Let's call it a night, yeah.